Good morning, it's Rise and Stein. It's Victory 91.5. This is the time we would normally pray, but we're moving prayer time back about 15 minutes.
Sure.
Because Ray is in teaching on something that is mind-blowing, mm-hmm. This second Passover, this Pesach Sheni.
You got to do that perfectly. Well, listened to a rabbi last night say it. He did it, ba-bam.
I knew a lot of rabbis growing up. Actually, I didn't. You know, I found my bar mitzvah certificate the other day as we were going through a box of memorabilia. Yeah. August 24th.
Few years ago. What's the
yarmulke?
The yarmulke, thank you. And you found the one that I accidentally stole from the
from the Messianic temple. Yeah.
I thought it was like a leave it's one, take one. Yeah. I just put it in my purse.
Yeah, we got home. I was like, honey, you're supposed to put this back.
I didn't know. I thought it was like a hair net. Like
who would wear it a second time?
Now we're going to have to sneak in there and give it back, and then we'll get caught.
I thought it was like those things that they have when you try on shoes. You know, those little hoses or socks. Some
things for your feet.
All right. How do we segue out of that?
I don't know, I'm sorry.
So the second Passover, the segments that you've been listening to this morning have been so powerful. They're posted at the Risenstein and the Victory Facebook pages. The Risenstein and the Victory Facebook pages.
And we'll wrap up this time and we'll pray next time. So if you have somebody in your life or it's you, mm-hmm. Please share that and we'll add you, specifically target our prayers for you or for that family member, because tell you what, when you've drifted so far away, it's easy to believe that you can't come mm-hmm. back. But God has made a way that second Passover. Mm-hmm. And again, the Seneca quote, don't stumble over something behind you. Mm. It's kind of the theme. And we're just going to keep throwing that out there until it gets ingrained in our nature to go, stop doing that.
Yeah.
So in the Old Testament, it was blessing. We had a choice, blessing or cursing. But in the New Testament, we're brought into a new way, a way that only Jesus could make for us, and it was a way of faith. And that was kind of summed up in Romans 10. I'm just going to take you there and then go back to Deuteronomy 30 and just to contrast the two, because that's where that quote comes from. Now, Paul says this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they're being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Now, that's kind of a tough scripture if you don't know what it's talking about. So I'm just going to throw you back so you know what Paul was talking about. And that was a very, very famous speech of Moses' from Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Now, these are the words of Moses. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his words, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. Now, that's from Deuteronomy 30. I'm going to jump back into Romans again, because what we're trying to show you is God has brought us on this journey.
Right.
And, you know, the law of God says obey. And there's no option apart from obey. So, again, back to Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart one believes unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Mm-hmm.
For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.
Mm.
For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him.
Mm-hmm.
For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, bottom line, when we fall away, we don't need to get resaved. We're sons. We need to return to our sonship in repentance.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a disobedient son, that comes with great punishment. You can't go, I'm fine, I can just do whatever I want to, I'm a son. If you fall away, you've got to return to your sonship. And that's the big challenge, because so often you can, you know, get the concept, I have to go back to the cross. And so you kind of just keep getting saved over and over again. You fall away, and it doesn't work like that. Once you come to God, you become his son. And so that you have to return into that sonship. The example that Jesus set was, of course, the one that we call the prodigal son. And the prodigal, that word is much more than just great disobedience. That word prodigal just has the same meaning for good or for bad. It's somebody who's just can't, just there's just no way to stop it. In other words, they're being compelled, they're being drawn, and you can just as easily be drawn to good as you can to bad. But the story of that son, in case you're in that place, he had a certain man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days later, the son gathers everything together, goes to a far country, wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. He began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to citizens of that country. And he sent him and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And, of course, the story goes, he came to his mind and said, you know, my father has everything that I need. But see, the reality is when you walk away, he walked away from his sonship. And all reality, he just took off his ring, took off the robe, and took off and said, see, I'm done being your son. I'm done with this family.
Right.
But he arose and he came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father says to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again.
Mm.
He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. See, when you fall into sin, you fall into death. And that second Passover is for those who have encountered death. They've touched death. They've touched sin. And they've become so that they cannot anymore encounter God. And if that is the wall that's come up in your life, if that's the reality, your journey is taking you somewhere else, I just want to remind you again what Teshuva is, which is this. It's that sign on that road. And it's just reminding you, it's not too late. When Teshuva comes into your life, it's the power of return. And it's that amazing ability to make a failure powerless to control our future.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a prodigal, you've encountered all the bad things, you've done all the bad things, but God can restore us. And he doesn't do it till brand new, but we're scarred, we're stronger, because of our failure and his redemption.
Wow.
And it keeps our eyes on Jesus. And I tell you what, when you focus your eyes on Jesus, hanging on that cross, and it's not enough for you, then you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, it is enough.
Mm-hmm.
It is enough.
Yep. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, if that was you that Ray has been talking about, if this is your time, then we're going to be praying for you in just a little bit. You can post up your name or your prayer request at the Risenstein Facebook page or the Victory Facebook page. Our number is 770-781-9150. Ray's teachings are posted at the Risenstein and Victory Facebook pages. You can click on the link, Second Passover, here on Victory 91.5.